Amen, amen,
good
amen.
Good to see Courtney here. Courtney brought a guest. Who's that with you, Courtney? Jeff. Who? Jeff? Yeah. Good to have Jeff. Amen.
Amen. I was wondering who that was in the mess. Courtney, it's good to see you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be saved. It's good to be in church and appreciate seeing Brother Jesse. What a blessing to have him home. And it's good to be home. Got a few things to say before we get started. I enjoyed Brother Mike Easter's Sunday School Hour. Amen. I don't know if you enjoyed that. I'm still on. Good. I enjoyed that. But I got a verse for you, Brother Mike. I was the other day, a couple of months ago, reading my Bible. And listen, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians real quick. He was talking about hard preaching. I'm just going to show you this verse, and then we'll get into the message. Talking about hard preaching. And I like hard preaching. Amen? Oh, come on. Y'all dead this morning. I like hard preaching, don't you? Man, if you're a Bible believer, you like hard preaching. And I'm going to show you why you like hard preaching. And, not being a jerk, but somebody that cares for you. One of my men in my church, we were riding. We took some chairs. God bless us, some brand new chairs. And I thank the Lord. And we were taking some other chairs to Rochester to another church that was starting our old chairs. And we're riding up the road, and Brother Frank, he loves listening to Brother Mike, and he watches every one of y'all's service every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. He watches these services, and him and Randy, and we're riding up the road, and here's Brother Mike. He said, "You're an idiot." Amen. And he laughed and laughed. He said, "Man," he said, "I wonder how many people keep on coming back." He keeps on calling them idiots. Amen. And he said, "I love it. I love it." I said, "Y'all want me to start calling y'all idiots, you know?" And joking around, and they loved it. You know, they enjoy it, but they like hard preaching. I've taught our people up there to love hard preaching, and this is why. 2 Corinthians 13, look at verse 10. Therefore, this is Paul talking. He said, "Therefore, I write." I didn't tell you what chapter. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 13. I want you to see it. It hit me one day. "Therefore, I write on these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use what? What was it? Sharpness. According to the power which the Lord hath given me to what? You know what hard preaching is? Sharpness. And it's to edify you. Look what it says. And not to destruction. So when a preacher gets up here, like Brother Mike was saying, and he preaches hard, he's preaching sharp. And that, what's the Bible say? The Bible is a two-edged sword. It's sharp as a two-edged sword, and it's sharp. And guess what happens? It edifies you or it destroys you. Now, the preacher's doing it to edify you, and the Holy Spirit's doing it to edify you, but it depends on where it lands. And you can let it destroy you, or you can let it help you. Yep. Amen. Yep. It's that simple. Yep. And so I taught our people, and I like hard preaching. Amen. I like hard preaching. I don't like a one that's just going to be a jerk. Amen. Not a jerk, but just a hard. I enjoy hard preaching, so I thank the Lord for that. But you know what the world don't like? You don't like hard preaching. So go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I'll say this. Our church is doing well, and I thank the Lord for that. When I get back, we're going to start our Sunday night services and our Wednesday night. I usually do Wednesday nights on videos right now, and they're having Sunday service, Sunday school Sunday morning, and the church is doing well, and I thank the Lord for that. And I'd like to see it grow. We're praying for growth spiritually. It's been growing spiritually, and I thank the Lord for that. But, you know, we had all that mess back in May with the mayor and all that kind of stuff, and then just a couple weeks ago, by gunpoint, our mayor was chased down and arrested by gunpoint for selling crack cocaine. Can you believe that?
Man got to make a living.
Yeah. he was running from the undercover cops, threw the drugs out the window, and he used to be the chief of police for Messina, and he became the mayor. And there's more to it. There's a lot more going to come out. I think there's some kids' stuff involved and all kinds of stuff is what I've heard. And so we'll see what happens. But, you know, I thought, man, wow, you were going to try to find me, come after me, because we had people sitting in their cars, but you didn't care about getting the drugs off the street. How about that, huh? It is politics. They're a bunch of crooks, man. A bunch of crooks. You better stick with this book and get off false news. Hallelujah. But our church is doing good, and I thank the Lord for it and our folks, and you, I appreciate y'all's prayers. Luke chapter 2, in sake of time, I was going to read 1 through 20, but we had all these announcements, my brother did, and it takes so long. No, I'm just teasing. But I want to read this, the last two verses of what verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned and glorified, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. Father, well, thank you for the word of God. I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for setting up this message, Lord, this morning, like you did. And God, I'm so thankful to be here at Faith Baptist Church. Bless this church. Bless the folks that are watching. Bless my church back home and all the other churches that are preaching the truth this morning. Amen. God, help somebody to get saved. God, minister to our hearts. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, we know this story here. In the sake of time, like I said, I'm not going to read it all, but Jesus is born. So, well, Christmas is already passed, and I understand that. Christmas is already passed, and boy, we're this crazy time. You're trying to get the gifts. You're trying to wrap those gifts. You're trying to get them to here, and you have this appointment. We have this family to go see and all those things. But now all this is over, and then we're going to the new year, right? Now it's a returns. We got to return gifts and all that kind of stuff. But it's still this time, as Miss Sheila sang, as Brother Jesse had said it, and as my dad said it, it's still exciting to know that Jesus was born. Boy, it's exciting to know that, hey, listen, the Savior was born in Bethlehem. Yeah. And boy, it should be exciting to everybody here that is saved that we had our Savior just didn't come down from a cloud and appear like other guys had said that they seen an angel that told them the truth and all this kind of stuff. No, he was born of a virgin, amen, a miracle in its own self, and came among men. You've heard this saying before. Some of you have. You said, weak as a baby. Man, we would tease each other. Man, you're weak as a baby. When we were kids, we would say, oh, you're weak as a baby. But let me tell you something. This baby that was born was not weak. Physically, humanly speaking, he was weak. But let me tell you something. He was the center of power. I'm talking about the baby Jesus. I'm talking about the manger scenes that you see that have that baby there representing Jesus. He was the center of power. This can be said from all over that he had drawn people places. You ever think about that? In this story here, he has drawn people. And I'm glad he's drawn people. I want to preach this morning on this, the newborn king. The newborn king, number one, I like to say, his birth drew Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Even though Caesar was in control and ruler, and Caesar had the power over all that country and that area, but God was still in control. God knew and God wanted because of the prophecy of them being in Bethlehem. So he had Caesar say, hey, listen, you're going to be taxed. You got to go back to your hometown. Listen, I'm telling you, our God is in control of that. But Mary and Joseph had to travel 80 miles. Imagine on her last trimester, she's going to have this baby, and you got to go on a donkey, ladies. You got to go and travel 80 miles. That's from here to Ocean City, Maryland. That's from here to BWI, the airport, Baltimore Airport. Imagine traveling, getting ready to have your baby, and you had to be on a donkey, and you had to walk. And they had to take that trip. I got thinking about that thing, but I'll tell you this. Bethlehem means this. Bethlehem means the house of bread. It is a great place for the bread of life to be born. I give me chills just saying that. It is a great place for the bread of life. I got thinking about this, and you realize God directed every one of you to your Bethlehem? Boy, God has directed you, every one of you, to your Bethlehem. You say, what do you mean? The place where Christ was born in your life. Sometimes it's 80 miles. Sometimes it's shorter than that. But God, in his providence, had just directed you. Everybody in here was directed somewhere. We all have a Bethlehem. Boy, me and my wife, we were doing some things, and she was getting some pictures together on the internet. We were looking, and she was seeing her mom and dad when they were married and all that kind of stuff. And I remember we were just talking about it. How different would it be if they stayed together? I told her, well, we might not ever met. You might not ever heard the gospel. Do you realize that this place is a Bethlehem for my wife? Because she met me and through Tammy Payton at the time and came to church with Larissa, and they came here and went to a youth rally, and they started coming here, and we started seeing each other. And boy, went to youth camp, and she come home and had the drummins one day, and she was playing the drummins, and in her room she realized she was lost and on her way to a devil's hell, and she got saved. Do you realize that men will do sin and their families will break up, but God will direct you to your Bethlehem? Every one of us got a Bethlehem. My little girl, Gracie, God took us all the way up to Messina, and she couldn't hardly walk, but then Uncle Jesse comes up, and he preaches and gets saved under Uncle Jesse's preaching. Messina, her Bethlehem. We go down through the stories here, people that have been, I've been seeing Noah at Walmart, him and me, Walmart buddies, hallelujah. Noah, Tammy, and I told Joe last night, I said, hey, there's Noah, Tammy. I waved to him again. And I said, hey, and I got thinking about this, Brother Noah. God took you from all these other churches, other places, Miss Tammy, and brought you here. Yeah. And you got saved in August revival. You say, what is it? It's your Bethlehem. I don't know about you, but it gets me stirred up. When Dr. Ruckman died, I flew out of Montreal and went down, met Cameron, and me and Brother Cameraman Raisey went to the funeral, and Chris and a couple other guys, we were there. But I remember after the funeral was done, they were going to the gravesite, and I said, Cameron, come here. And I took him over. I said, I hope the door's open. I went over. I ran out the side door. We ran out the side door. We passed the old bookstore. We ran up the hill there, made a left, went down a hallway between some buildings. And I checked the door, and it opened up. And it opened up into a foyer area where my daddy, when he used to run the aisles, and he got excited, and I busted my head on one of those poles, took me there, got me a soda, got me a Coke, hallelujah, changed my life. And I never forget, I walked up there and I said, this classroom, and they had doors to the nursery and another nursery and then a classroom and a door into the old church building. And I remember taking them and going over there, and the door was unlocked. And I said, Cameron, he said, what is it, Brother Samson? I said, this is where I got saved. Woo! And I went over there right before, it used to be a chalkboard, but it's a whiteboard. And I got down and I began to weep where the place where I bowed my head and asked Jesus, save me. You say, why? That was my Bethlehem. Hallelujah. It was my Bethlehem. Amen. And God brought us all the way from D.C. down there so I could have my Bethlehem. Boy, you should be excited.
Amen.
Because when this baby was born, he was already directing you to your Bethlehem. What a place. Last year, how many of y'all been saved here at Faith Baptist Church? Raise your hand. Look at that. It's your Bethlehem. Never take it for granted. Never take it for granted, your Bethlehem. I got a man in my church, and he got saved, and his Bethlehem is right outside. His Bethlehem is right outside his garage. You say, what happened? He said he went to a funeral. He was wicked, and he went to a funeral and of this young boy that got saved. Got killed, and he's sitting there, and he said, Lord, help me to get more time. He wasn't even saved. Give more time to you. He was trying to get his life together. Old drunkard, gambling, all that kind of wicked stuff. That afternoon, he went and got on his garage. He was working on his roof there, putting a new roof on, slid off that thing and broke his leg and laid there. And he said, God told him, now you got time for me. Wrapped that leg around there. He ended up asking the Lord to come in his heart and save him. Laying there. That's his Bethlehem. And we go around this room. Dad, I got thinking about your Bethlehem over there in Maryland, where you got saved, where John Garner took you. And what is it, Dell Smith? Is that his name? I can't remember his name, but my daddy got, you all heard his story thousands of times, where John Garner took him to his Bethlehem. Boy, I don't know about you, that should get you excited. You got a Bethlehem? You got a place where God had was born in your life? A Bethlehem. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that God, when he was born, he began to draw people certain places. Not only that he drew Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, but he brought the angels from heaven. He drew the angels from heaven. The angels, it must have been amazing to these angels to see the Creator born as a creature. The Word, capital W, the Word of God, became a speechless baby. Man, they could have sat up there and said, man, he left all that he had to go down there with those wicked people. The angels was probably amazed at what he, because he loves them. And he came down as a speechless baby. You know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Why did Jesse get all crying over here talking about the baby being born? He said, because he became poor for us, that ye, through the poverty, might be rich, the Bible says. Do you realize how rich you are? You might not have got all the Christmas gifts you really wanted. You might not have got everything you wanted. But let me tell you something. If you're saved, born again, got food in your belly, hey, listen, you're rich. You're rich, hallelujah. And it's because of the Savior. And those angels looked down and said, why would he go down there and trade his life for theirs? It's because he loved us. And he drew those angels. The first announcement of the Messiah birth was given by angels to some unknown shepherds. I got thinking about this. Why didn't he tell the scholars? Why didn't he tell the prophets? Matter of fact, we know if you read the story, when Herod wanted to know where Jesus was, he got the scholars and all those guys and said, hey, where is he? They said, oh yeah, there's a prophecy about him being in Bethlehem. So Herod's the one to send the wise men. Excuse me, that's the other story. But anyways, the wise men to Bethlehem. Why didn't he tell those scholars? You want to know why? He said, because God came for ordinary men and women. He didn't come from the high and mighty. You say, well, they can't get saved. Yeah, they can get saved. But they're going to have to make themselves lower, humble. God didn't come. He didn't come to save the ones that think they're something. He came to save the ones that needed help. The shepherds were outcast in Israel. It was a dirty job. It kept them weeks away from the temple to get clean. God, listen, like I said, God doesn't go after the high and mighty and rich. He goes after the poor and lonely. Aren't you glad for that? Because I was poor and lonely. He made me a king. He enriched me. Look, the Lord came to, the Lord came to be a good shepherd. I think it's amazing that he come to those shepherds because he came to be a good shepherd and the Lamb of God sacrificed for our sins. You ever think about that? What a blessing it is that we got a God that cares. We got a God that loves us, that he would come down for us. I think about, Lord, why did you save me? Nothing. Brother Mike said, we're not up here preaching because we're saying this person, we're going to get this person, we're going to get that person. We're preaching because he said, man, we know where we came from. You know the problem with the church now? We forget where we came from. Well, we got Brother my daddy, Brother Paul Bill, and some of you older folks here that you realize you were lost. Now the second and third generation? Or something. Don't you ever forget where your heritage come from. I'm so blessed. I'm blessed because of him. His name, him living right. You kids better get it down. Listen, you kids should be saying amen. I teach my kids, you better say amen. You better say when things are right, you should say hallelujah. Thank the Lord. You say why? Because you're blessed. Because of the things you get. We used to say this. I remember this. When I was a youth pastor here, parents said, I don't want my kid to go through what I had to go through and all this stuff. And I understand that. And that's a blessing. But the problem is we make spoiled brats. And we don't know how to worship God anymore. We don't know how to thank God for the things we have. We think it just comes. We live in America where it's so great. Well, we can go to this store and go to that. Now we're complaining because we can't go to this one and that one because of the mask and they're shutting it down. Hey, listen, do you realize other countries it's like that? It's all over the world, but there's other countries that were even worse than that. Little kids are getting a page of a Bible, hiding in the middle of the night, learning about Jesus, because if they get found out, they would be killed. I'm telling you, we've lost our shout about, hey, listen, those angels came and said, hey, you should rejoice, hallelujah. Rejoice what you got. He's here, hallelujah. He's alive, and he's well. Boy, you know, they came down to give a word, powerful word. You know what God did for us? He came down and gave us his word, powerful word. When men want to lie to us and men want to do it, we go to this book and we find the truth. Boy, it's a blessing to know that I got a book that won't lie to me. Now, I preached a message at our church. I was preaching a series and I told them about purity. And I preach on purity. Do you realize this is the only pure thing you can hold? The only thing that is pure that you can hold? You say, well, that baby, when he comes out, is pure. But yeah, you give it a little bit of time, that wickedness is coming. But this has lasted the times and through the ages and still is right and right on the money. It's pure, it's pure, it's pure. And them angels came down and they said, the word of God is alive. They came down and they said, God is here. You know what I love coming to church for? Because I want to hear from heaven. You know what those shepherds did? They heard from heaven. There's nothing like hearing from heaven. There's nothing like being at home reading your Bible and the Holy Spirit of God shows up and you hear from heaven. You know, that baby, that newborn king, he drew the angels out of heaven. He drew power out of heaven. He drew the words of God out of heaven. See, one of the angels came, and the Bible says that the angels came and glorified God. But when all through the Christmas story, one of the things that the angels said was, fear not. Fear not. Man, you get watching the news and getting on, man, we're at the end of the world. Y'all know that? Everybody's going to die. This whole church had COVID. You still alive? I'm not saying it's not real, but what I'm saying, they get you so worked up that you're going to die. I've been to 15 states in the last month and a half. I didn't get it. And I'm thanking God, I'm not bragging. I got king's blood, hallelujah. I'll probably get it now, right? Soon as you say it. No, but what I'm saying is, guys, is that we're watching these news and we're watching all these liberals and all this stuff that's being pushed down our throats, our kids' throats, all these things. And we forget we get word from heaven. Amen. Do you realize every one of those suckers are going to bow?
Amen.
Trump's going to bow to the Lord. Amen. Trump's not my hero. Amen. I'd like for him to get in, but he's not my hero. Biden's going to bow. If they live through the tribulation, they'll bow. Do you realize we already know the end of this book and that we're on the winning side? We get so caught up in all this news and all this stuff, and they're going to do this. Listen, I don't like it from my kids. I want to fight and say, man, I don't want those things for my kids. But I know this, he'll give them the grace to go through it. Like he did with Joseph, like he did with the three Hebrew boys, like he did with Daniel. He'll give them the grace. Amen. Like he gave him Paul, he gave him the grace. Do you realize Paul wanted to go see his folks and try to win the Christ, and he gets back to Jerusalem. He was only there 14 days. They arrested him. And why he's in jail, the Bible says, and the Lord stood beside him and said, Paul, don't you worry. Don't you fear. I'll bring you before great kings. Hallelujah. And 2 years later, Paul gets in front of the kings and he says, I think myself happy. You say, why? Because he had the word from heaven. Amen. You know what we got? We got a word from heaven. And it's a blessing to have. Amen. You know how many people don't? Some of you young people better be shouting. You better learn how to shout. Perilous times are coming. But let me tell you something. I got a word from heaven. I got it. Listen, it ain't coming down from angels anymore. Hallelujah. It's coming straight from the mouth of God. Amen. Why is church important? Because we get a word from heaven. Amen. What a blessing. Not only that, Mary and Joseph was brought to their Bethlehem, like you and I. The shepherds were able to get a word from heaven. Brought those angels down. Get a word from heaven. We get a word from heaven daily. I always thought it was weird, too. I'll say this about those angels. Revelation says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. What is that? I could be a preacher. And that could be you. If I'm doctrinally wrong, they'll correct me. But he said, what, an angel? You know what people called us sometimes? And these guys know that. And I'll tell them, man, you're just an angel. I've had people say, or you show up at a certain time or you call me at some, man, it's like God sent you. You ever heard that? When you're ministering to somebody, man, it's like God just sent you. Because we got a message to tell. And those angels passed those messages on to the shepherds. You know what else this birth drew? It drew the shepherds from the fields. It drew the shepherds from the fields. Even unto Bethlehem, the Bible says, indicating that it was a little journey. Indicating that, hey, listen, this is a little journey, and I'm heading to Bethlehem, and I'm going to go see what the angels said that was there. They were willing to make the trip. You know what blows my mind? How many people are not willing to make the trip on Sunday night? Sunday school. Sunday morning. Man, it'll rain. Oh, I don't feel like going. Wednesday night. They're willing to make the trip. This one gets me, revival. You get up here and you say, we're going to have revival. Everybody, hey, man, we're going to have revival. And more visitors show up than church members.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. That blows my mind. They're willing to take the trip, but we're not.
Yeah.
Dave Thornton, I remember every year, he said, I take my vacation on August revival. Yeah. He said, I don't want to miss nothing. You know what he's saying? He said, I don't want to be tired, falling asleep in the seat, hearing Brother Glenn Stocker preach. He made the trip. Listen, Noah and Tammy, I just want to encourage you. Every time I come, I see y'all in church. I say, man, they just got saved.
Yeah.
And Mike tells me, he said, yeah, and they're reading their Bibles too.
Amen.
They got it. Hallelujah. And there are many others in here that's done the same thing. You got saved, you just got it. So I'm willing to make the trip. Say, why? Because the Word of God came from heaven and told me that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And I got saved and it told me to go tell the world. Told me to go find it. You know, the Bible says here, it tells them that they need to go find it. The word found. They said, we found the Savior. Verse 16. That means they went searching. You searching for truth? I have a lady in my church named Sharon Hitzman. Sharon Hitzman. Sharon Hitzman, I'm riding down the road, and one of my men ministries is a sign, and he put on there, if you're shopping for a church, we're open on Sundays. She's riding down her Toyota truck, and she goes, man, I am searching. She was going to St. John Episcopal Church. She had got saved by reading her Bible. Her brother was witnessing to her, and her brother baptized her in a river up there when he came up from North Carolina. So she's going to this church. Now listen, you, if you start reading your Bible and you're going to the wrong church, you're going to find truth. Matter of fact, she wasn't even reading the right Bible, and she still found truth. That'll blow somebody's mind. And so she wasn't reading the right Bible, but she's reading there, and she goes, and she noticed this. This is what she said. She said, I noticed, Pastor, they wouldn't even open up their Bible. So she said, you know what? I'm going to find a church on a Wednesday night, because they didn't have Wednesday night service. I'm going to find a church on a Wednesday night that at least reads the Bible, so she goes to the Church of Christ. And she said, at least they open up another book in the Bible. So she's going there. And she's going there, and she's about 3 weeks into this Church of Christ, and they're trying to teach her their junk, and she sees that sign. And so the Church of Christ cancels their Wednesday night service. And she goes, man, that church is open. So she rolls up there a little late. She comes in, she sits in the back. She sits in the back, and I'm teaching out, I think it was a Colossians at the time, and I'm teaching there and stuff, and I get done. And she just sat there shaking her head. And I came back, and I was shaking hands and talking to people. I said, ma'am, are you okay? She goes, I just got fed meat. Now, the first thing I thought was, this lady's been reading her Bible. Because that's not a normal saying. Unless you've been reading your Bible. And boy, we talked. And then the next Wednesday, they canceled again. She's a loyal lady. So she came back. And then the next weekend, they canceled again. And she just, every time, whew, and then tons of questions. We'd stay there for 30, 40 minutes. I'm showing her Bible, showing her Bible, showing her Bible. And she goes, you know what? She said, you never told me any of your opinion. You keep on showing me Bible. She said, I like that. And so she's going back. She stopped going there and started coming Wednesday nights. And then she came a Sunday morning, and Easter Sunday she came. And she sat in the back and wept. I did a presentation on the screen of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. She wept. I had a mom and a daughter walk down and get saved. She said, I'm done. She said, this is my church. This lady had character. She called and made an appointment with the other church. And said, I need to talk to you. She said, I'm resigning my membership from here because I found the truth. And she wasn't rude about it. You know how many people I would love to be able to come and talk to us and say, hey, we're leaving your church, Pastor, because of this, this, and this. Yeah. I'm always the one chasing them down. I said, well, I haven't seen you in a couple weeks. Well, I knew this was going to happen, and, you know, we don't know if we believe this. We've lost our character because, hey, this lady, I told her, man, congratulations. You know what that lady, it wasn't even a pastor at the time. She's working to be the pastor. You know, the lady told her, she said, now, could you tell me what church it was? She said, no, I'm not going to tell you that. She goes, do me a favor. Make sure it's not the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. And I was like, she said that? She said, yeah. She goes, it's not. And I was like, wow, that's, well, at least she cared about that. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know what happened with Miss Sharon? Miss Sharon started coming. Her husband started coming. And he got saved. You know what happened, Miss Sharon? She started getting the right Bible, started learning her doctrines, and she's out preaching. We got a call because she was putting, I got this nasty call because she's putting tracks on people's cars during COVID with no gloves on. You say, what happened? She got fired up. She found the truth. And she started learning her Bible. And you know what? She realized, hey, this gospel needs to be told to everybody. She led two people to the Lord already. One of the laundromats. She's finding all kinds of ways. I'm buying her. I got her some stuff. She's going and putting on doors now. Say, why? She wants the gospel to get out. You know what God does sometimes? He brings you out of that old field so you can find the truth that you go spread the gospel. You know, another thing I like about these shepherds, when they went back, they were faithful to their duties. Well, I wish we'd get some people faithful to our duties. People dropping the ball. Get faithful. They were faithful. They learned about it. You know what they, you know, when they found the truth, they said, we ain't messing with the contemporary music, the new Bibles, the doctrines. What a great example that they received by faith the message and that was sent unto them, and they responded with immediate obedience. You know what I don't like about myself is when I don't respond in immediate obedience to God's word. A word from heaven. Do you realize what that thing about the heaven? You're getting a word from heaven. This is not just some ordinary book. It's still the bestseller. You say, why? Because it's coming from heaven. When we watch that video of Brother Maurice and all those pastors getting the Bible, they're getting words from heaven. And boy, it is great to have the words of God and get a word from heaven. And when I get a word from heaven, you know what I want to do? I want to tell others that, hey, I got a word from heaven. You know what these shepherds did not do? Man, we saw this angel and we saw this and we saw that. They didn't. They went, if you read it, they said they went and told about the Savior. They didn't tell about their experience. They told about what Jesus did. When you ask people, hey, are you saved? Well, I had this experience. I don't care about your experience. Did you meet Jesus? He's wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God. He's everything. Even in a pandemic. Even if we have to shut down our doors, I still got a word from heaven. Hitler burned every Bible. You say, why? Because he knew it was words from heaven. And he didn't want the shepherds to get it out. You know what our job is? To get it out. Get some gospel tracts and get it out. When you don't have gospel tracts, talk about him. Talk about him. I can't stand it when Christmas time comes around when they go, happy holidays. I'll go, you mean Merry Christmas. Xmas, no, you mean Merry Christmas. You say, why? I want to acknowledge him. Acknowledge the Savior. They talked about God and not the angels. Folks, the newborn king had brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Newborn king drove the angels from heaven, a word from heaven. And his birth drew the shepherds out of their fields. I got thinking about this. And one day, we're going to be taken out of this field. And that trumpet's going to blow. It's going to be maybe in my lifetime, maybe not. But that trumpet's going to blow, and we're going to get out of this old field. This old field's been rough, hasn't it? It's been some good crops. Man, it's been some good fruit. But this old field's rough. Seems like the ground's getting harder, isn't it? Tell the Lord, I remember seeing people get saved, but Lord, it's hard to see them get saved. I remember seeing Christians, boy, their hearts would be good, like you were talking about, tender. And we'd plow that sharp, hard preaching plow. People would flood the altars and get right. God, this old field's getting so hard. And the fruit that we're producing is not good. Boy, it's been hard on some of you. Lost loved ones, lost husbands, lost wives, lost children. It's going to be a wonderful day. When he takes us from this old field, listen, I'm not complaining. I don't want to complain about the field that God gave me. But it is getting harder. Just in here this morning, the shouting it's not like it used to be. Because our hearts are getting harder. We're so wrapped up in everything in this world. Some of you should be shouting your full head off. What you got, but we're complaining about what we don't have. And as a preacher, and I've got, man, I'm only 44, honey, how old? I'm 43? 44, just turned 44. I always get it messed up. But I've been preaching and watching this thing, and I remember the tenderness of people. And now that field is hard. And all those rocks. I don't want to ever let it get hard in my life. I want to still shout. I want to still weep. Amen. I want to still enjoy the things of God. I want to get something from heaven. And I want him to draw me, if it's 80 miles, 400 miles, 500 miles, 1,000 miles, so I can hear another word from heaven. That's what I want. Because I don't want it to ever get old. Don't let the Christmas story ever get old. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. God, a word from heaven. God, bless these folks. Help them. Help the younger ones, Lord, to get it. Help them to see that, hey, God is good. Help them to see that God is looking towards them and wanting to see them make it, wanting to see them make a life living holy and righteous for him. But God, help us to remember our Bethlehem. Help us to remember our Bethlehem. Help us to get on our face and thank you for our Bethlehem. But God, also help us to thank you for your word from heaven. God, help us to appreciate the word of God. As I know it gets tedious sometimes and getting up and reading in the morning, and this world tries to pull us away. But God, help us to get the gospel out and tell everybody about Jesus we can, because you're coming back soon. And I believe that. God, thank you for Faith Baptist. God, it is a Bethel to me. I told my church all the time there's spots I could take them to where I got right on this altar where I shed tears. And I stayed there until you helped my heart. God, it's a Bethlehem. It's a Bethel to me. It's a Bethel to my children. It's a Bethel to my wife. God, just different things. The gym, the bathrooms. I ain't went in the bathroom. Remember, laboring with other men in the church to make our bathrooms better. God, it's a Bethel. And we thank you for Faith Baptist. God bless these folks. Help these young people. Help the children. Get in the heart that I'm going to rejoice what God has given us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Why don't you stand?